Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're back on Forex Fridays, and we're coming to the end of yet another memorable week in the FX space. And it seems that not just this week, but for most of the second quarter, a lot of the talk has really shifted towards inflation and what that might mean with regards to monetary policy across the world. And of course, we are coming off of that CPI report from the US that saw inflation in the world's largest economy grow by about 5%. And of course, we are also saying that ahead of the Federal Reserve's next policy decision, how might this actually influence the Fed's next moves? And what might this do for the US dollar? Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Philip Wee, Senior Currency Economist at DBS. Mr. Wee, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these very uncertain times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while, and happy Friday.
Hi, JP. Nice to be back. And I'm looking forward to the interview.
So it's been a rather busy last few days. We are coming off of a hefty set of inflation data, actually, from the US and also from China, to be honest. And of course, it's also going to be all about the Federal Reserve's decision next week. Can we expect them perhaps to respond to the clamor for some monetary response to these inflationary figures? And how might this influence the dollar that is actually trading at some of their lowest or weakest levels in months?
JP, I think we need to take a step back when discussing the outlook for currencies this year.
All right.
First thing to take note is that we have gone from rebound in 2020 to range bound this year. So essentially, we don't have the same kind of one-way bets against the US dollar that fueled reflation trades last year. What we have seen, especially in the last few weeks, are currencies moving in very, very tight ranges. Let me give you an example. Dollar index, or DXY, has been between 89.6 and 90.6 since 17 May. So this is extremely narrow, only 1.2% wide for the last 20 trading sessions. Same can be said for its components, the euro, sterling, and CAD. Okay, I think what has contributed to this is that we have seen this convergence in central banks' monetary policy stances. So, like it or not, you know, the Fed and the other G10 central banks, they have sort of come together and form a rock band. So right now, mm-hmm. they're a song, you know, higher inflation is transitory, has been playing on all the radio stations, and right now on Money FM.
So the message is
very clear on monetary policy. The recovery from the pandemic is going to take precedence over higher inflation. So the recovery outlook this year is also not as simplistic as last year. It's not just about moving from the worst is over to an economic rebound boosted by stimulus and vaccines. You know, this has been great for driving stock markets and currencies higher. And the other thing about vaccinations is that by itself is now no longer enough. You know, so countries, you know, they're still striving, you know, for herd immunity, but they're coming to terms that COVID is becoming endemic due to the new variants. So in this regard, it's not just about reopening economies and borders, but more how long, you know, we can keep them open whenever mm-hmm. we do so. So another challenge ahead is how well, you know, I think the central banks are thinking is the businesses and the consumers, are they going to hold up when the governments withdraw their pandemic-related stimulus measures? So meanwhile, we have also seen, you know, new short-term risks emerging, you know, that could, you know, pose obstacles to the recovery in the second half. I'm talking about the global chip shortages, a COVID outbreak in Guangdong that's disrupting ports and China's exports and potentially vaccine shortages after India's outbreak and complacency over inflation, which is what we're supposed to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And also lately, you know, the Chinese policymakers coming out to lean against one-way bets in its currency and commodities. But coming back to yields, you know, yes, investors don't like the higher bond yields. You know, so, but at the same time, as you have seen yesterday when the U.S. inflation numbers came in strong, you know, they fell. You know, so it's unhealthy for them to also keep falling.
Mm-hmm.
So flattening the yield curve, you know, could also dampen the growth outlook and eventually, you know, pull equities lower.
Philip, I do want to ask, where do you stand on that? A number of economists have begun calling for perhaps at least a tapering of bond purchases to try and tame some of these inflationary pressures. But as you mentioned, the G10 have formed a supergroup rock band. They keep on singing lower for longer, and inflation is transitory. Where do you sit among this myriad of opinions on inflation?
You know, I think as long as the recovery proceeds, there is, you know, a blueprint to exit this policy.
Okay.
But the thing is that most of them have already sat through a lot of crises, starting with GFC, the Eurozone debt crisis. So you do not want a repeat. And so they're managing this, you know, perhaps a bit too carefully. I think at this point, for the Fed's meeting next week, what we are looking at is not the Fed announcing tapering, but the Fed saying that, okay, you know, maybe we'll start starting to debate about the tapering. It's going to be a sort of long-drawn process, which I think the market is sort of coming to terms, you know, and trying to fit it into their framework. I think overall, you know, you've been hearing this word complacency,
mm-hmm.
you know, at first for central banks, but right now there's also thinking that, you know, maybe it applies to investors too.
All right. We're speaking to Mr. Philip Wee, the senior currency economist for DBS here on Forex Fridays. And it's all about inflation today and how monetary authorities are reacting to this and how it might shape the Forex space. Of course, when we talk about policy, I do want to bring it back closer to home, Mr. Wee. How might the MAS perhaps react to all this tightening talk and inflation? Inflation expectations, to be honest, in Singapore are not as high as some of the developed counterparts. But could authorities here decide to act and maybe even give the strong Singapore dollar even more of a boost? What are your thoughts on how the MAS is taking into account all of these currents with regards to global monetary policy at the moment and how they might actually position themselves?
Okay, let's remind everyone that, you know, unlike the rest of the world, Singapore does not have an interest rate policy.
Right.
So our policy is an exchange rate policy centered around NER, or nominal effective exchange rate, and its policy band.
Okay.
So over the past quarter, I think we have seen the Singapore starting to respond positively to the improved growth and high inflation outlook for Singapore, especially after the MAS policy review in April. How do I know that? Well, the Singapore has stopped holding near the midpoint, you know, the sort of neutral zone within the policy band, you know, starting this quarter. So right now it's about 1.3% above its midpoint. So if this didn't happen, then, you know, the dollar sing rate will probably be weaker at 1.34 per dollar instead of stronger right now nearer to 1.32. So mm-hmm. I think the market is sort of factoring in that the recovery and then eventually, you know, and the central banks will have to start preparing or, you know, returning to a not more normal monetary policy. So this brings us to the next question, which is, when will the MAS tighten the policy? Well, I like to look at it this way. You know, the Singapore dollar rising above the away from its midpoint, you know, is like, you know, the steepening in the U.S. Treasury yield curve.
Okay.
So, in a sense, returning to an appreciating Sing policy is just like the Fed, you know, starting rate hikes. You know, but to achieve this, I believe, you know, our central bank and the U.S. Fed, you know, would first want to be sure about a complete and sustainable recovery for the economies. And right now, you're seeing the 10-year yield actually moving lower, you know, together with the G10 yields. So I think in the short term, I'm actually looking, you know, like all the risks I mentioned above, you know, if growth worries come, you know, for the second half, then we may see the Singapore sort of pushing back, you know, below 1% above the mid towards the midpoint itself.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the Sing dollar, could perhaps potential weakening of the Chinese yuan, as authorities in China have hinted at, could that be one of the few potential challenges to the Singapore dollar's recent strength? We have noted before that there seems to be a strong correlation between how the Chinese yuan and the Sing dollar move. Is this something that you're monitoring, or is this something that might be negligible when you're assessing potential challenges to the Singapore dollar's recent strength, Mr. Wee?
This is a shock. I think link that that's visible that most of us see. I think longer term, if I have to look at both Sing and Renminbi, they're both managed on a basket. So I prefer to look at them on a year-on-year basis, especially for China. You know, so China, I believe, the Renminbi has now reached a sort of pain threshold. It's exceptionally strong on a year-on-year basis. I think stronger than this previous time. So which is why the policymakers have come in to lean against one-way bets, you know, so to try to discourage that view. So, but I think a lot has changed after, let's say, the currency war, and when U.S. started, you know, its three criteria for currency manipulation. You know, previously, I think the renminbi, you can see there's some sort of link between its exchange rate and, you know, the export performance. But ever since, you know, the you know, the sort of trade war, you see that correlation is higher with the you know, the currency basket, especially mm-hmm. those for the Western economies. So I would say that you know, the longer term, I would still prefer to, you know, focus on the basket, which at this point I think we have sort of hit a sort of roadblock. Markets have wanted to push the dollar weaker, but they failed. They wanted to buy back the dollar, but the Fed has been dovish. So, you know, it's sort of in this you know, range, which is why we're in this range. But, you know, going forward, you know, we think that the second half, you know, if the Fed starts a debate, then we may tilt, you know, the balance back to the dollar. But bear in mind that, you know, this is merely pushing it from the floor, you know, towards perhaps, you know, the year's high that we've seen. So still pretty much within the range.
And very quickly, Mr. Reed, we have seen oil prices recover significantly this year, and oil prices have had a bit of a moment of truth. There's expectations of demand recovering alongside the global economy. On the other hand, just to weigh against that, there is the possibility of Iran returning to markets if a nuclear accord can be restored this weekend. Taking this into account, what kind of impact might this have on commodity currencies, and which one do you think might be most vulnerable to some of these things we just highlighted?
The relationship is, you know, there for the longer term. I'll give you a good example. Crude oil and CAD, you know, they are highly correlated.
That's the Canadian dollar, right? CAD?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. But the tightness is more in direction than in magnitude of each other. You know, from this current recovery from the pandemic, I would say that, you know, it is the Canadian dollar that has been leading oil prices higher. You know, so if you look at, if you overlay the two charts and you ask yourself this question, is the Canadian dollar too strong at 120 per dollar? And should it weaken to where oil is, which is 1.25 to 130? Or is it that oil is playing catch up? You know, so if that's the case, then the Canadian dollar is saying that, you know, oil could go up to $90 per barrel from currently $70. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then we're going to have an inflation worry again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite interesting. So it's not as straightforward as, you know, you know, we make it up to be. Okay, another good example is the Australian dollar and iron ore prices. You know, so iron ore is I think one of the top exports for Australia.
Right.
So Aussie has been stable between 76 and 78 range, you know, despite the record high iron ore prices this year. You see, so the link is, again, not as strong as what we have seen. So looking ahead, you know, I think both Aussie and CAD could still correct lower. You know, again, you know, that's dependent on whether the Fed start discussions on tapering asset purchases. You know, so, and right now, Bank of Canada has pushed back, you know, taper talks, you know, like we saw this week at this meeting. RBA has also set a very tough criteria to roll back its measures. So, and not forgetting, you know, between the two, you know, Australia is probably going to be less resilient, you know, because China, you know, has already started to crack down on speculation in the commodities market.
All right, Philip Wee, currency economist for DBS. Thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, have a great weekend ahead, sir.
Thank you, JP. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.